Before we look to God's Word this morning, I just want to remind us all that on May 20th, we will be having or hosting a county outreach here at Covenant. And I want to just encourage everyone who's able to take part in that. It's an opportunity for us to exercise our faith by going out and loving on people, by praying for them, by encouraging them, by sharing Jesus with them, whatever the Lord leads us to do. So mark that on your calendars and please try to be there for that. Okay, we're in week two of our study of this letter of the Philippians. And I want to begin with this. Let's say you were on a trip, a missions trip. We've got some folks in our church that are going on a missions trip this summer, but let's say you were on a missions trip and you got to interact with a group of people and you came to just bond with them, love them very much, they love you very much, and you're getting ready to go and you've got just a minute before you need to leave and you want to pray for these people. What would you pray? What could be the most profound prayer that could impact them? Not the prayer that makes you sound the best or look the best, but the prayer that could have the greatest impact on their lives. What would be the best prayer? Well, this morning we're going to look at a prayer that Paul had for the Philippians. We're going to look at a short prayer, and it's going to be a prayer that provides us with an example of praying for the best. That's what we see in these few verses that we have today. We're going to see in these verses that Paul is praying for the Philippians that their love would abound more and more. But he adds to that with knowledge and all discernment, and for three purposes. And essentially the three purposes are they would know what's best, they would do what's best, and they would give glory and praise to him who's best. That's what we're going to look at in this morning's prayer. Let's go to that. Let's just do that one more time before we go to God's Word. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the gift it is to us, how it helps us to come to know you and have faith in you, how it guides and directs our lives, how it molds and shapes us, how it blesses us so abundantly. As we come to your Word now this morning, Lord, we want this word to go out faithfully, and we want to hear it, Lord, faithfully. So we pray, Lord, as this word is spoken, as it entered our ears and our minds and our hearts, that, Lord, you would help that to be done in a pure way that is faithful to you, that glorifies and honors you, and helps us, Lord, to understand so that we can respond faithfully as well. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, before we get into today's passage, we need to do a little preparation leading up to that. What is the greatest commandment that Jesus gave to us? Anybody? Yes. Reflected in Mark 12, 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandment greater than these. That's what Jesus said. Of all of God's commandments, these are the greatest, that we would love, that we would love God and that we would love others. This word love is agape love. You've heard it many different times. It's a word that means that we would cherish or care deeply for others, often combined with serving them in some self-sacrificing way. And if you remember, and Jed shared this passage a number of months ago, right after this passage, Jesus was asked, who's my neighbor? And Jesus went on to give an example of who a neighbor might be and what love might look like. And he told the story of the Good Samaritan, how this man came upon another man who was lying along the road who had been beaten and stripped and robbed. And the Samaritan came alongside and he loved him. How did he love him? He cared for his wounds. He put him on his donkey and took him to an inn. He prayed for ongoing care for the man until he was well. This man loved, the Samaritan man loved the man that was hurt by sacrificing his time. He sacrificed his money. He sacrificed possibly his pride, his own will. He did all of this in loving this man. And so for all of us, cherishing and caring for people to the point we're willing to sacrifice for them, that is the greatest commandment, Jesus said, that we would do that. So, based on what I shared last week, were the Philippians known for their love? What do you think? Yeah. Remember last week's text? Paul was filled with thanksgiving and joy for the Philippians, and it had a lot to do with their response towards him and towards others. If you remember when Paul and Timothy and others went to Philippi for the first time on the second missionary journey of Paul, as they came to faith in him, immediately they said, "Come, stay in our home. We'll take care of you." And they did. And then as Paul went off and continued on his missionary journey, they continued to provide support for him. They over and over again sent him financial gifts to help support him. They when he came through on the third missionary journey, he was also taking up a collection for the people in Jerusalem who were suffering in a famine. And if you remember, he wasn't even going to ask the Philippians for help because they were struggling themselves. But when they found out he was doing this, they gave, he said, they gave all they could and more. They expressed their great love for Paul and for others in many different ways. Their faith in Jesus Christ was demonstrated by their love for others. And this was a great encouragement to Paul. So these Philippian believers who Paul loved and who loved Paul greatly, this is what Paul begins to say. Philippians 1:9. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. So these people who were great at loving, Paul says, my prayer for you is that you would just keep growing in your love. It would just come out of your life more and more, like a spring coming up out of the ground with clean, fresh water. That's what Paul's prayer was. He's essentially saying, God, these people that I love dearly and who have loved me dearly, would you help them just to grow more and more in their love? What an awesome prayer. What a great prayer. You know, and I hope that's a prayer that reflects us. If you notice when Greg was up here this morning praying, he prayed that for us, that we would know God's love more and that we would grow in loving God and loving others. That should be a prayer of ours. Also, what a wonderful reminder that no matter how good we are at loving, we can grow more in loving. This Philippi church that was good at loving, Paul's praying, God, help them love more. May that reflect us as well. But that's not all Paul prays. He prays that their love would grow more and more, abound more and more, and then he adds, with knowledge and all discernment. He wants these believers who he loves to grow more and more in their love of others, but along with that, he wants them to have knowledge and all discernment. He wants them to be able to understand things, to be able to look at a situation and know what's good. But what does he want them to have more or accompany knowledge and all discernment? What is that? What is he talking about here? He's talking about knowledge and all discernment of the truths of God, of the Word of God. So he wants them to grow more and more in their love, but right along with that, he wants them to have more and more understanding of God's Word. And we're going to see why that is. There's just a real close connection between love and knowledge. Let me try to help us understand that. How did you come to faith in Jesus Christ? That only happened because someone shared the Word of God with you. You came to understand that you were a sinner and you need a Savior, and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. It was through the Word of God. We can't know how to love people unless we know the Word of God, because most of our lives we were apart from Jesus Christ. If we were apart from Jesus Christ, then the Bible teaches that we were spiritually dead, we were lost, and we were blind to the truths of God. Apart from faith in Christ, our life was lived in we looked at life in a very distorted way. But when we come to faith in Christ, God's word tells us that we ought to allow the word of God to begin to renew our thinking and allow us to respond differently. That's what Romans 12:2 says. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And let's look at this backwards. We're renewed in our mind through the word of God. So the word of God helps us to renew our minds so that we no longer are conformed to the world, but we live the way God wants us to live. That's what's being talked about here. And so apart from the word of God, our views of things are greatly distorted. There's a battle going on in our world over how people view the world and their response to it. And I want to give you a few examples of that. There's a battle going on between what people believe is true and what is actually true. Here's an example. Our world we live in now, more and more, there's belief that you can discard life if you choose to. If you are pregnant and it's an inconvenience in some way, it's appropriate to abort the child. We live in a world where more and more the elderly are being viewed as someone, once they get it to a certain point, can be discarded. Where God's word says, all life is sacred. From the point of conception till the passing, all life is sacred. We live in a world where people say division is appropriate. If you're in a marriage and you don't really feel like you love that other person, then you can just divide that marriage. Or you could hate others. It's okay. Or God's word says, no, there needs to be unity. There needs to be a unifying thing. It's one man, it's one woman for all of life. We live in a world where there's places where the world says, no, you can unify. A man and a man can come together. A woman and a woman can come together. You can come together for premarital sex or sex outside of marriage. And God's word says, no, there's places where you need to remain separate. The world says when a problem comes along, the first thing is, who's to blame? The blame game, where God's word teaches us when there's a problem coming along, we need to take responsibility. What part do we play in this problem, and how can we be the solution to the problem? The world's rebelling. We live in a world where there's more and more rebelling against authority, against leadership, against government. We see that in a great way right now. God's word says submit. Submit to leaders, submit to the government, submit to those in authority over you to the extent they align with my word. And by and large, our government, our leaders, we can submit to them. It doesn't go against the word of God. And finally, the world, at least by the way they live, loves self, where God's word says, love God and love others. The way the world looks at things is very different than the way God would have us to look at things. This left column here represents thinking of the world, and this is what God's word says about that. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Apart from faith in Christ and looking at things the way he would have us look at them, it's foolish. And we know that. Many of us have been there. We've done that. We realize that. Much of the world wants us to look at things in a way that draws us away from God. Scripture teaches us that a battle is raging. And as part of that battle, our enemy is using lies, lying as a major weapon. And it started with Adam and Eve in the garden. Satan lied against them and led them away from God. And that's what Satan, that's what the world, even our own flesh wants us to buy into the lie, so we're drawn away from God and the things of God, so that we then begin to love the things of this world and the ways of this world. This is why Paul says, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. So we can't fulfill the greatest commandment to love without also having some understanding of the Word of God. In other words, we can't love others if we don't know how. So we need to know how. We need to be in study of God's Word. We need to be reading it. We need to be studying it. We need to be memorizing it, meditating on it, because it's a great gift God has given to us. And I've shared this passage before, but this is out of Psalms 19:7, and it's describing the Word of God. And it's using words like it's perfect, it's trustworthy, it's right, it's radiant, it's pure, it's sure and altogether righteous, more precious than gold, sweeter than honey. And verse 11 says, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. God makes it very clear that we are to love Him and we are to love others, but it needs to be accompanied by the Word of God. And we go on into the rest now of this, in this text for us this morning, and Paul's going to go on and he's going to show us the purpose why we are to love more and more with knowledge and discernment for three purposes. That's why we have the words, so that. And the first purpose is that we would know what's best. Philippians 1:10 says, so that you may approve what is excellent. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can look at that situation and say, this is the best response to this situation. This is how God wants me to respond in this situation. Many of us take trips. We go to different places. And what's one of the first thing we do if we're going to a place we've never been before? What do? Google it. That's one thing we do. What else?
Ask someone else.
Anybody else? Look on a map. Come on, you're missing the number one answer here. Get your phone out, punch it in your GPS, and maybe that's what somebody meant by Googling it. We get our phone out, we put it in GPS, we want to know, tell me how to get there. So some of us use GPS, some of us still use maps, some of us use a combination of things. If you're like me and you're going someplace new, you want to make sure that GPS is telling you that you're going the right way, so you also get a copy off of MapQuest and you have both. Now, imagine this. You're going to take a trip and you're going to go someplace in New York City, a place within New York City, and you don't have anything to assist you to get there. But you've got to go. Can you imagine what that trip would be like? Can you imagine what the tension would be between you and your spouse if you're trying to drive to a place in New York City and you don't have anything to tell you which way you're to go? That would be an awful trip. That's a little bit like what life is like when we try to live it apart from God and His Word. We're trying to just go along and we're trying to do things the way we think we should do them or the way somebody else is telling us to do them. And it just is a mess. But God's given us something. He's given us this manual for life, this compass of His that shows us which way we're to go. And I want to illustrate this, and I've asked Isaac to come and help me. Isaac, come on up here. You've seen this before. Some of you probably don't remember it. Isaac, what is that?
A compass.
Does it feel like a pretty nice compass?
Mm-hmm.
What's a compass supposed to do?
Tell you the correct way that you're going.
Right. So you want to open that up? And you can see on this compass, it has a W for west and a E for east and an S for south. And then it has an arrow that's supposed to point true north. And Isaac, which way is the arrow pointing? Which way is it pointing? Show everybody which way. Point to it. No, you point to it. You be the pointer. That way. True north is that way. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Because this is a good compass, isn't it? It's nice and heavy and well-made, and it's saying north is that way. Thank you, Isaac. You did great. Obviously, this is not a good compass. It does say, this compass does say, north is that way. Or in fact, north is this way. But that's how we are alike apart from the Word of God. Us in ourselves, when we have to determine what is the right way to go apart from God's Word, we're pointed in all kind of different directions. And if we hear something different from somebody else, our pointer turns. You know, we're influenced by all kind of things. our flesh, the world, everything, we're living very dangerous lives as we trust in ourselves and as we trust in others. And that's why God's word is telling us this morning, love more and more, but it has to be combined with the word of God so we know which way is true north, which way we are to go. And let me just give you an illustration or example of this. Let's say you're in your workplace or in your school and somebody slanders you. I mean, they just slander you really bad. And you get out the compass of your flesh, what's your response going to be? Your response is going to be, you're going to go on the attack against that person. It might be physical. You might want to go up and just pop them in the nose for what they've said. Or at a minimum in our flesh, we're going to want to go on some kind of attack against them. We're going to want to take their slander and turn it back around on them. Or we might just hide and try to avoid that person. But what does the compass of God's word tell us to do? Love that person. We're called to love that person. In our flesh or in the world, that doesn't make any sense at all. But that's what God's word tells us to do. True north is to love that person. And God's word shows us how we can do that. God's word's given us the example of his own son, Jesus. Jesus, God, has shown us how we're to respond in those kinds of situations. When we're attacked, how can we love those people? God's word has shown us those things. So Paul's prayer for the Philippians is that they would have more and more love, but it would be accompanied by the truth of God's word. And this is certainly God's desire for us as well, that our love would grow more and more, and it would also be accompanied by the truth of God's word so that we can know what is best. Well, that's why we have verses like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Another way of saying this is trust the compass of the Lord completely. Don't trust your own compass. And every way you're going, just keep saying, Lord, show me your compass and which way I'm to go. And he will, according to this verse. It's a promise of his. We just have to do it. We have to be willing to do it. So Paul prayed for the Philippians to their love to abound more and more with knowledge and discernment for the purpose of knowing what's best, and secondly, for the purpose of doing what's best. That's what we see in the second half of 10 and the beginning of 11. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus. So, and again, in other words, what Paul is saying here, I want you to have more and more love along with the word of God so you know what's best so you can do what's best. As we journey through life, we meet crossroads all the time, don't we? Every day, moment by moment, we face crossroads in how we're going to respond. And God has shown us, he's told us, that in these various crossroads we face, he wants us to always be loving. And he's given us the words to show us how we can love. But when we get to the crossroad, we have to choose. Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to love? When we get to the crossroad of seeing that person that maybe is out there and needs help with they have a broken down vehicle, are we going to take the path of loving and helping them, or are we going to go the other way? We see a person that has some kind of material need. Are we going to love them or are we going to go the other way? We see a person that needs encouraged or in some way. Are we going to stop what we're doing, take the time, sacrifice the way we need to sacrifice, and love them? Or we're encountering people and they may not have faith in Jesus. Are we going to sacrifice? Are we going to face that fear? Or are we going to be willing to do what God would have us do in loving that person? That's what it comes to. What are you going to do at each of these crossroads? Are you going to follow me and do my will? Or are you going to do your own will? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, one of my favorite verses. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's just saying, here's the word of God for you. And it's going to, if you allow it, it's going to mold and shape your life and prepare you so that every crossroad you're at, you're going to be ready to face that situation. That you're going to be ready to do every good work that God wants you to do. And sometimes when we hear that, we think, okay, what great work do you have for me to do, Lord? Am I to go to the mission field, or what am I to do? Where in reality, all this is saying is every one of those crossroads you face, just be faithful. And so that means that when you and your wife are facing a challenge, that God has prepared and equipped you for that, and that you would respond in love. Or when your child is rebelling and needs to be disciplined, that God has prepared you for that moment to discipline your child in love. Or again, when you're meeting up with that person who may not know Jesus, that you're willing to share that treasure with them. Whatever the situation is, that through the word of God, he's prepared and equipped us that we're ready for that and that we would be faithful. And I just want to add before we go on to the last one here, is we can have great knowledge of God's word and not love. In fact, a person could have almost the entire Bible memorized and not love. Just having knowledge doesn't mean we will love. It's got to be knowledge with love. It's got to be love with knowledge. It's got to be both of them together. So we can know what's best and not respond to our spouse the way we should, or our child, or that person who maybe needs Jesus. I think there's a lot of times where what's lacking in our life is not knowledge. What's lacking in our life is love. And for that, we need to ask the Lord's forgiveness and his help. So Paul has prayed for the Philippians to love, that their love would abound more and more with all knowledge and discernment for the purpose of knowing what's best, for the purpose of doing what's best, and finally, for giving glory and praise to him who's best, God. That's the end of our passage, to the glory and praise of God. Living our life guided by God's word and loving other people is what we were created for. It's verses like 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says whatever we do, no matter whatever we do it to the glory and honor of God. That's why we were created. That's what gives us purpose and meaning and fulfillment. This past Wednesday night in our small group, Panji shared a brief story about one of his girls on his track team. And she was looking at life very negatively. She was saying a lot of negative things about life. And Panji just asked her a very simple question. He said, "What is the purpose of your life?" It really is a great question, isn't it? Because usually it boils down to one of two things. We're living to glorify God, or we're living to glorify ourselves. We're living to love others, or we're living to love the things of this world. What is our purpose of life? If we're living to glorify God, then we're going to have great things in our life. We're going to have things like joy and peace and freedom and contentment and purpose, wonderful things. And if we're living to glorify ourselves and to love this world, then we know what life's going to be like living that way. We're going to lack contentment. We're going to have emptiness in our life. We're going to be facing turmoil. But that's not what God's called us to. So to summarize what Paul has prayed for the Philippians and what God desires for us is that the Philippians' love would grow more and more along with understanding of God's truth for the purpose of knowing what's best, for the purpose of doing what's best, and for the purpose of bringing glory and praise to him who's best. So I want to close with this morning. I want us to take a little inventory of our lives as we consider these passages this morning. And what is your purpose in life? Are you and I living to glorify God, or are we living for something else? Are our lives being fruitful because more and more love's coming out of our life that's aligned with the Word of God, or not? Is there a breakdown somewhere? Has our love for God and for others grown cold? Are our attempts to love others misdirected because we really don't know the Word of God very well? Do we need more discipline, more self-control, more boldness, more courage in our lives? God created us to be great lovers. He's given us the Holy Spirit and His Word to make that possible. What an awesome thing that is, that we can be God's witnesses and His representatives here on earth as we go around loving other people. And what a rich thing that brings to us as we're faithful. So let's just close in asking God for continued help, that our prayer would align with Paul's prayer this morning, that we would grow more and more. Father, we do thank You, and we thank You for Your Word. Father, there's always a tension in our life. There's a tension in that we know often what's best, and there's a tension in that we fall short often in fulfilling that. And Father, You've not created us here in this world. You know we're not going to be perfect. We live in a sinful, fallen world. And so, Lord, we just ask for Your help. We ask, Lord, that our love would grow more and more, along with knowledge and all discernment, that we might be able to know what's best, that we might choose what's best, and that might bring You, who are best, greater glory and honor. Father, if there's a part of our life that has brought a disconnect to all of this, we pray that You would just continue to impress that upon our hearts and help us to respond faithfully. Father, if that's just a heart that needs to be refreshed and warmed and again grow in our love for You and for others, we pray for Your help in that, Lord. Father, if we need to be in Your Word more, just convict us of that. Show us that, not just to do that, but so that we can love greater. Father, if we're lacking understanding in situations, then show us. Father, if we're knowing the truth and we're just not living it out in our lives because we're afraid or because we just have become content in our own situation, our own little world, convict us of that, Lord. And again, we pray for help. Father, help us all that the overarching purpose of our lives would just be totally to give glory and honor to You. We thank You for the privilege of that, Lord, and we thank You that You want that for us, and we thank You that You provide for that in our lives. And we give praise and thanks and glory and honor to You for that. And we do so in Your name, Jesus. Amen.